America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Yes, it's another Sunday night. That means it's another three-hour tour of the American Adversaries, the classic edition. I am not Lair Adams. He is away on assignment. He'll be bringing his assignment in to be graded tomorrow at 5 p.m. Be there for the results. No, I am not Lair. I am Nostra Dennis, sitting in for Lair. We're also missing Carl Jackson. Johnny Guns is sitting in for him. I have no idea if we're doing Johnny's Corner, so stay tuned to find out. Folks, this time of year is a time of beginnings and endings. You know, we're coming up this coming week at the end of Black History Month and the beginning of Irish American History Month or Frozen Food Month or Brain Injury Awareness Month. You can feel free to celebrate whichever one you think fits your situation. Another ending, the tornado warning we had in Central Florida has just ended. Mm-hmm. And we are turning into the beginning of a beautiful evening in Central Florida. Thirdly, the Super Bowl. You remember that football game? It's a distant memory, though I can still smell some of the commercials in the background. They linger. But baseball is around the corner. Pitchers and catchers have reported already. Johnny and I have spring training tickets burning holes in our pockets.
Amen.
And the Rays are going to be on before you know it here on AM 660, The Answer. Some political pundits are predicting the end of the president's stranglehold on D.C. politics this November and the beginning of what? Who knows? That depends on how big the tide turns. If the Senate goes Republican, we might have 2 years of political gridlock. And considering what's gone on the last 6 years, that might not be a bad thing. I have the honor of introducing a man who's been calling out liberal hypocrisy from the beginning. And I predict he'll keep on doing it to the bitter end. Christopher Hart.
They're going to have to tear my cold, dead hands off this microphone. You turn that microphone towards you, not
where?
Away. There you go.
Yeah. Hello.
There you go. That's
hello.
How, that's my
check.
One, there
you
two.
Go.
There we go. Hello. 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 Hello.
We're trained broadcast professionals.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us. That's right. We are the American Adversaries, and we are departing on our three-hour tour from the live. Well, we actually are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And don't forget, folks, for the best in Mercury Free dentistry, call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. That's right. I am Christopher Hart. That was Nostra Dennis. And Johnny's right here. Hey, Johnny.
Yeah. Hello, everybody.
And we have Jeff sent us on the bridge tonight, so we are in good hands. There you go. As we zip through the ether tonight, and we will be zipping along. These 3 hour shows just go lickety split. So I hope you'll stay with us tonight. There are severe weather warnings out, mostly on the northern area of our listening audience from about Longwood North. But everybody needs to be on the lookout. There is some nasty lightning snapping off out there, and you can be 3 or 4 miles away from a thunderstorm and get hit by lightning. So just be very careful if you're going to be going out at all tonight, especially if you're heading up I-4, heading northeast. I presume the Daytona 500 may have to be rerun unless they're going to do it tonight under the lights.
I think they're going. I haven't seen anything official, but yes, it has been delayed I'm thinking they're going to have to do it tomorrow.
Well, they'll wait a long time. And now that they have lights over there at the track, they could turn it into a nighttime event. So we'll see if we get any word on that. But nonetheless, the weather is nasty out there. There are warnings for the next few minutes anyway. So we'll keep you updated as best we can. Right here, the weather's calm. It's nice. So everything's skirting a bit to the north of us. So just be aware of that. And be aware that we got a lot to do tonight. Lara's not with us tonight, but he is going to check in. He's been spending the afternoon with his dear mother, who turned 96 this weekend.
Wow. That's amazing.
It is amazing. And hopefully we'll get a chance to speak with her. That is, if Pasquale Barbo at Cafe Positano didn't ply her with too many martinis. He treats her to one on her birthday, but I'm sure we'll be able to talk with her. And Carl Jackson is at a church function tonight. He'll be back next weekend. And he had a great show yesterday, too, by the way, folks. I hope you got to hear Alveda King on his show. Mm-hmm. And it was a delight to hear, and Carl was on fire as usual.
That's Mama King to you.
Yeah, that's right. Mama King to Carl. It's Alveda King to us. Till she gives us permission.
I met her. There was an event up at Markham Woods Road at a church up near there about a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. a pro-life, pro-family event.
Yeah.
Met the lady, and she is such a sweet woman.
We had her on the show one time. We need to get her back, but we had her on the show one time, and she was a delight to talk to. And it was fascinating to learn about her father. It was just absolutely fascinating to learn all about her father. So if you didn't catch Carl's show, just go to holyslant.com, and you'll be able to find out how to catch Carl's show. We got a lot to talk about tonight, but before we get to that, it looks like we do have Lara Adams' mother on the line. Hello, Ms. Adams. Happy birthday.
I've had a wonderful, wonderful birthday.
Well, that is fantastic. did you have your birthday martini?
Oh, yes. Yes. No, my margarita.
A margarita. That's right. I forgot. I got it mixed up. And there you are, right on the ball.
Yeah.
Well, y'all had a great
day. I had my whole family plus some other relatives. There's just one thing wrong with the whole deal.
What's that?
I'm 96 years old, and I'm not going to get any younger. but that's okay, because I don't mind. It has been a great, great life.
Well, and you have seen so many fantastic things in your life, and you carry it well. And
Yes, and it's all been interesting.
It's all been what?
It's all been very interesting.
Interesting, yes. Yeah, I can just imagine. I mean, you as a little girl coming from the Depression era, where people could just
barely... There was really not much wrong with that Depression. People had different values, and it was a good time to grow up.
You know,
I don't regret it a bit.
I'm glad that you said that, because most people, when they talk about the Depression, it's only negative thoughts. But what it did to many families is it made many families closer together and more reliant on one another.
Sure it did. And you could walk down the street night or day and be perfectly safe. The thing about it is that when nobody has any money, nobody else tries to take it.
Well, there is that. That's a silver lining.
it truly is. Well, I'm glad you had that.
But it's been a good, good life.
Well, that's great. And you've raised four fine sons, and they've all been very successful in their lives. So you and your husband, Irwin, did a really great job.
Well, I always felt like I had six children because I've got a niece and a nephew that are dear to me.
Yeah.
It's been a wonderful life.
And you know, Lair does a great job on those closings, but we now know where he got that talent. It came from you. You're the writing talent in that family, I understand.
Yeah. Well, he's got talent I don't even understand, but I'm proud of it.
We say the same thing around here.
I don't know where he gets it, but anyway. Well, blessing.
He is indeed. He is indeed.
Yes.
And so are you. So are you. And I hope you're blessed with many more birthdays.
Thank you so much, sir.
Hello to Sherry.
Oh, yeah.
He wants a Sherry in Castleberry.
Yeah, she calls up here, and she loves dearly to hear you on the phone. So I'm sure she's out there smiling right now.
Well, give her my blessing.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah,
thank you so much.
All right. And happy birthday to you once again.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Bye now. And, of course, that is Lair's mom. And if you've been listening to the show, I mean, she's visited with us periodically since the first day, I think. I believe she was on that first night.
Yeah, she's one of our first callers. Yep.
Yeah. And she's a great woman, and she got a great sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And she cooks the best doggone cookies, golly. bakes the best cookies,
right,
I guess. But they spent the afternoon over at Cafe Positano, and it is a great place. They had a big party over there. Mm. And, of course, they have the area in the dining room in the back, and they can, of course, put a big party up front, too, in the casual dining area. They got a full bar over there, folks, and we're going to be doing a remote broadcast over there in the middle of March. We're shooting for St. Patty's Day.
Ooh, good.
Yes.
I can stumble home right from there.
That's right. So we're going to put that together, and it'll be a great, great time for you folks to come out and join us, see us do a remote broadcast, and then have a little dinner and potty afterwards with us. And it'll be our second year we'll have completed on our drive time show. Okay, so that's Cafe Positano. And of course, Pasquale Barba is the greatest sponsor. He's been with us for 3 years now. That's another reason to celebrate, because it was 3 years ago in March that he came on board officially as a sponsor. And he's been the best there can be, because he's been with us 3 years.
Amen.
And, of course, we get to eat great food, and he's a great man and a great friend.
You know, it's great to have sponsors, but if your major sponsor is an insurance company, it's not as much fun as having a restaurant as a sponsor.
Especially if it's Cafe Positano, the finest Italian restaurant in all Central Florida. And of course, you can find their home restaurant 4 miles west of I-4 on State Road 436. They have a phone number if you'd like to make reservations or call for takeout. And that number is 407-774-8080. And, of course, they sponsor our Who Said That contest, which tonight is going to be a Where Is That contest. I decided to switch it up a little bit. You'll see why. 407-774-8080 is Cafe Positano, and you can win a $20 gift card if you happen to know where whatever it is I'm looking for is.
I'm looking at the outline. Where is that?
Yeah.
Where is that?
All right. We're also going to talk about some branding issues the Democrat Party has. Oh, yes, they do, big time. And we predicted this on the very first American Adversaries radio show Sunday night, 174 episodes ago. We're also going to talk about shams. I want to talk about the sham secretary that we have to the UN. Miss Susan Rice was on TV today reviving the lies. We're going to talk a little bit about sham surgery. Have you guys heard of sham surgery?
That's when you operate on someone, but you don't really operate on them?
More or less, yes.
Really?
Yeah, and the government's promoting that. Now, we'll talk about that.
Really?
We'll talk about a little bit about Grover Norquist, because he had something to do with that UAW vote going down up to Tennessee up there. We're going to talk a little bit about climate change. We're going to talk about, well, we got Sonny coming on. We got Nostradamus in the past. We got WTF News with Johnny Guns. Lair's closing. We got a lot to do.
We got, 11 segments left, so stay tuned. If you want to call in, 407-774-8255 is the number. The American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer.
This is Mark Merrill. You may know me in wrestling as the star Johnny B. Bad. I listen to The American Adversaries, and you should too. Don't let me come and get you, because I'll kick your booty with my two-day fruity.
Here comes Johnny B. Bad.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to The American Adversaries on our Sunday evening three-hour tour. Thank you for being with us tonight. Once again, 407-774-8255 is the number, and we are live on AM 660, The Answer, in the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And don't forget, for the best in Mercury Free dentistry, call Dr. James Hardy. 407-678-3399.
Get that stuff out of your mouth. It's poison.
It's pazin. That's right. It is pazin for you. All right. I want to talk first about Secretary Susan Rice. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because it's more or less rehashing. But she was on Meet the Press this morning on NBC and talked a little bit about the situation in the Ukraine, talked a little bit about the situation in Syria. Obviously, you know, trumpeting the administration's accomplishments, if you want to call him that. That's what she was trying to depict him as, although she had to admit in the Ukraine there's very little the United States can do.
Or should do.
We should be what we normally would do in this situation, and that is be standing up saying, listen, the violence is not necessary. The government should back off, and issue the what was in our past the standard, this is reprehensible. Now, I will say that the president started down that road the other day. He should have stopped right there, though. But no, he had to go on and issue his red line, which Susan would dutifully defended this morning as though it was something of true meaning, when it is, it's laughable. It is literally laughable. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. But then she was posed with a question about Benghazi. And it was put to her this way. Do you think, and I don't remember the exact word that David Gregory used, but he said to the effect of, do you think that the kerfluffle over Benghazi caused you the Secretary of State's job? In other words, do you think that the mean old Republicans making a big deal out of you lying victimized you? That was the nature of his question.
That's
do you
a
understand?
Hard little question right there.
Oh, yeah. Do you think that the stuff over Benghazi cost you your job, you poor little woman? Oh, I was just feeling so bad for this woman. You're right. No, that's, of course, the way that the media is going to treat these people. But nonetheless, she went on to respond, and he probed a little bit, but she went on to respond essentially that, no, we didn't do anything wrong. We didn't lie. We presented the evidence as we were given it, and then she scapegoated the intelligence community as the evidence as we were given by the intelligence community. Of course, we now know that that evidence was doctored by the political advisors in the White House who told the intelligence community that we didn't really know these things that the intelligence community knew. And then she went on to say, yes, it turned out later on that some of the things that we said were incorrect, but she had no regrets and that they have done everything on the up and up. And it's just too bad that people like us and people like you listeners out there and people like the mean old Republicans in Congress just can't get over this. It's just a shame.
I am amazed that the intelligence community has the resolve and the discipline to sit back and let this happen without yelling and screaming about what's going on. But our friend Dan Bongino was on a couple weeks ago and said, yeah, they're used to that. They know it's going to happen. They know it's political. All they do is do what they're told to do, put the information in, and let the powers that be do what they will with it.
Yeah, it is definitely frustrating for them nonetheless. But yeah, that's unfortunately where we're at with this sham secretary to the UN who's out there once again propagating the same old lies. And this was her first return appearance since that morning, how many months ago? 16 months ago now or so. The beat goes on. Remember that old Sonny and Cher tune? The beat goes on. Well, here the beat goes on with our sham secretary. Yeah, I'm very sorry, Ms. Rice, that you didn't get that appointment that you wanted, but it's just too bad, ain't it?
Well, what difference at this point does it make?
There you go. I love that. All right, I want to move on because she's not worth much more of my breath anyway. If you folks want to talk about her, we'd be glad to. Anyway, I want to talk to you about something more importantly because you might want to be on the lookout for this. Have you ever been approached by a surgeon and offered, what do they call that, placebo treatment?
Oh, from a surgeon?
From a surgeon.
I've never had that.
That's... All right. I'm going to refer to an article that was in Wednesday's Wall Street Journal by Scott Gottlieb. It's on the opinion page. Scott Gottlieb is a physician and resident fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. And he's written an article entitled, "The FDA Wants You for Sham Surgery." Of course, you've heard of the practice of using placebos when they test drugs.
Sure. They have to do that so they can tell whether a drug is effective and safe.
Right. That's one way to do it. It's a particularly effective way. Now, unfortunately, you can't necessarily take the logic that works with drugs and apply it to medical devices. But that's what the FDA has done. They have come up with the idea that people say who are getting heart stent surgery, that perhaps some of them shouldn't actually get the stent, that they should just be cut open and have the surgeon probe around in there a little while like he's actually doing something, but not put the stent in so that they can then use these patients as guinea pigs against the people who do get the stent. Now, of course, this has not been the way new medical devices have been tested in the past, and thank God for it.
Yeah.
Basically, when they put a new medical device in someone, they tell the patient, this is a new medical device that we are going to actually put in you, but it is going to be the only thing that will save you or whatever the case may be.
It might work. It might not.
Remember the first, who was the guy, who was the doctor in Africa there that did the first open heart transplant?
DeBakey. DeBakey. DeBakey was one of them.
Right. Okay. And then they had the first plastic heart. Right?
Jarvik.
Yeah, exactly. But they actually stuck the doggone thing in there, right?
Yeah, they didn't pretend to.
Right. And that's not how they do it in Europe. But that's how the FDA now wants to test new medical devices. And so if you are approached by your surgeon and asked to participate in the study, you better say either hell no or get up if you can and get the hell out of there because they're fixing to cut you open, perhaps for no good reason. And you won't know. It's just like a placebo in the drug surgery, in the drug studies. The patient won't know.
That's ridiculous.
Perhaps the family will find out later when they get the autopsy results, but you won't know.
That
now, later on,
logic.
They might go back if you were one of the placebo patients and actually do the procedure correctly, but guess what? They got to cut you open and go through the whole process again. This is...
You know who did medicine like that?
I was getting ready to say the Nazis.
The doctors in Nazi Germany.
That's
they
right.
They weren't sure if something would work. They take 100 prisoners. They do it to 50 of them. They wouldn't do it to the other 50. They saw what happened.
Yeah, let me just read a little bit from the article. The FDA tries to address ethics issues, which is what we're bringing up here, right? The ethics of the first oath in the Hippocratic Oath, the first promise in the Hippocratic
Oath. Do no harm.
Do no harm. Right. Well, they are throwing that out the window, so they're obviously facing ethics questions. So the FDA tries to address ethics issues, as I'm reading now, by letting patients who get sham treatments eventually join the real treatment group. But this often requires a second surgery. The sham trials can also be costly because they involve unnecessary operations. And, by the way, excuse me, they are hard to recruit patients for. Imagine that.
I can imagine. Do no harm is different than do nothing.
All right. So anyway, and by the way, it also will slow down the implementation of the use of new medical devices because it will draw out the process of trying to prove whether or not the doggone things work.
The world is going crazy, and we're just here to tell you how. We're the American Adversaries. It's Sunday night. It's turning out to be a nice night here in Central Florida. So enjoy it. We will be back on the other side of the news. So keep it here.
The battle is heating up. You're listening to the American Adversaries on 660 WORL
and on 1520 The Biz.
If you can take it.
I know I can take it, and I think you guys can, too. Just before we go over to Johnny Guns at the News, Traffic, and Weather Desk to tell us all about the Daytona 500.
And sports.
I want to make sure everyone is aware that there is a spare microphone here, and a quarter of the table in our broadcast studio is empty and could be filled quite easily with a large garlic pizza from Cafe Positano.
Ooh, yeah.
There's even a microphone if someone who delivers it should happen to maybe sit down and want to talk about his days in the seashore of Positano.
Someone with an Italian, accent.
Somebody like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I get that.
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
In case you're listening,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Now let's go to Johnny Guns, who's going to let us know what's going on with the Daytona 500.
All right. I just went on NASCAR.com, and there has been no official word yet that the rain has been postponed and will be run tomorrow. So it looks like they are going to, if conditions improve over there at the racetrack, they're going to try and get the race in tonight under the lights, like Chris alluded to earlier. Now, checking out the AccuWindow weather forecast, because I'm looking out the window at our weather forecasting
facility.
Yes. Everything is clear here. We did have a little batch of showers that just moved out of our area and is heading north-northeast towards the Daytona track. So that should blow through in about the next half hour to an hour. So we'll see how quickly they can
get that
dry
track.
The track.
Yeah, if they get that track dry, they got the lights over there now.
Which is going to create a conundrum for a lot of people because a lot of people like to watch NASCAR. You got the WWE pay-per-view on right now. They're going to have to pick between racing and wrestling.
Did you guys see Clint Bowyer, the NASCAR driver, on Duck Dynasty the other week?
No.
That was a rerun, but yeah.
It was funny. Hey, look at that. You did two things you normally don't do. You turned right and you backed up. Pretty good. I love those guys.
But he won the drag race in the limo, the camo limos.
Between
he and Willie.
I wish I would have seen that.
By the way, our dear friend Hacksaw Jim Duggan, it's going to be on Duck Dynasty.
Yeah, when is that going to be?
It's going to be in March.
March, okay.
I think March or April, I'm not supposed to say.
Just watch them all. Yeah. Eventually, you'll come up with Hacksaw. And they were doing the same thing that Hacksaw talked about the other day. They were talking about action figures. They're not toys. They're action figures!
They had the paintball thing.
That's right.
And one more quick thing about Hacksaw. WWE Network starts up. We were talking
Monday,
to him.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. And they were wondering when that show he was going to be on was actually ever going to hit the air. Legends House is actually going to be on the air now.
Legends House. That's where he and Rowdy Roddy Piper room together with some other ex-wrestlers out in Arizona, I think. It's a reality show, so that'll be very interesting. Before we move on, I just want to finish up this about this sham surgery thing, because this is real. This is not a sham story. This is a shame, but it's real, and it gives a whole new meaning to the old phrase "Uncle Sam wants you," doesn't it?
Uncle Sham wants you.
Yeah, but we referenced the Nazis and the way they would experiment on human beings, and this is very much remnant of that. I just want to read the last two paragraphs of Dr. Gottlieb's article, and then we'll move on. All of this raises development costs, talking about sham surgeries. In other words, to develop these new medical devices. Aside from the ethical issues, it also has practical issues about the innovation of new medical devices. And we already know that that innovation is being slowed down by the new tax on medical devices.
Sure, because if something costs $100,000, tack on to that 2 or 3%.
And also, but this drives up the R&D costs of these devices. And many of these devices are made by little companies, you know, basically people working out of their garages, more or less.
And they're ventures where if it works, they do very well. And if it doesn't work, they go bankrupt.
That's right. All of this raises development costs, and it encourages firms to skip the U.S. market and commercialize new products overseas, which is already being done. This can suppress innovation. When a sham trial doesn't produce positive results, the company may have exhausted its resources and have no capital left to refine a good idea into a beneficial product. Instead of clinging to inflexible testing requirements, the FDA should allow trials that are feasible, reflect clinical practice, and are morally defensible. This is a doctor saying something, you know, talking about our government. You're getting it right, though, isn't he? And I'll finish up now. There are methods for evaluating science that don't require such contrived experiments on people. The agency doesn't need to rely on research models that raise the opportunity cost so high that some valuable treatments or devices may never become available to patients. And by the way, many devices, is in particular in orthopedic surgery, were developed by orthopedic surgeons and tested by using them.
Sure.
And this would, once again, complicate that process. And so it just, once again, the government, in their effort to make themselves feel useful, I guess, and feel like they're actually doing something for people, are being more harmful than beneficial. So what else is new, right? All right, I want to move on and talk just a few minutes about this vote that was held last weekend at the Tennessee Volkswagen plant up there by the UAW.
The unions poured a lot of money into it.
And one other fellow poured some money into it, too. And he seems to have gotten a little bit more bang for his buck. And I might add that Tennessee is not going to be your easiest state to unionize in. All right. Tennesseans appreciate their freedom almost as much as Texans. All right. Okay. All you volunteers out there, don't call and blast me now. That was just tongue in cheek. Tennesseans are very much like Texans. They really appreciate their freedom and their, you know, their individualistic way of life, if you will. Our old good buddy Grover Norquist got involved in that. And guess what he did? And this was, I believe, ingenious. And this is something, you know, we talked about, I like to talk about strategy now and then, and this falls in that category. Last year when Chris Christie won his election, I looked at that and I talked about it in terms of strategy, you know, not terms of, oh, how great Chris Christie is, but how great his strategy was, which was to go out into every little corner of that state and tell them if they didn't vote for him, he was going to shut down their roads.
No,
actually, he went into places where Republicans didn't go before, Hispanic communities, black communities, and spoke to these people and didn't, you know, pander to them, but and went and talked to them and said, this is what I'm all about. And of course, Hurricane Sandy helped, but it was the strategy that we need to pay attention to. And that's where I'm going at with this story. Because what Grover Norquist did was he put up billboards around the town where they were holding the vote, and basically reminding the people on the billboards, let me see, that, for instance, everyone who wants to steal your guns is funded by the unions. I don't know if that was on one of the billboards, but that's typical of the idea that you found on these billboards. In other words, you're voting for the same people who support liberals and everything that you are basically against if you vote for the union. Now, the vote was still fairly close. It was, I think, about, 55, 45, something like that in terms of percentage. Nonetheless, the union vote went down, and a lot of people attribute it to the fact that people in Tennessee are a little bit, is smarter the right word, or is more politically savvy the right word?
I think savvy is a good one.
Or more observant as to what the unions really stand for in this country these days. And Grover Norquist just kind of prodded them a little bit, you know, reminding them, you know, that these same unions are going to take your money and give it to people who are going to try to take away your guns, tell you how to run your life, tell you what doctor you can have, what type of medical care you have to have. These are the people you want to support, and this is the approach that the Republicans need to take around the country. To Hispanic communities, to the black community, say, okay, if you want to support them, this is what you're supporting.
And here's what you'll get.
And this is what you're going to get. Mm-hmm.
I think it's safe. It's fair to say the veil has been lifted for a lot of people. They see, you know, it's like the Wizard of Oz. The curtains are parted. They see there's just a little guy in there pressing buttons and moving levers. He's not great and powerful. He's just a man. He's just a union leader.
Well, that's a good characterization, but I believe they see more than that. And this is why on the very first show and repeatedly since then, I said if Barack Obama were in the studio right now, and it goes for today, I'd give him a big old kiss right on the lips, because he has exposed so much for people to see. And they are beginning to see it. Not just us who, you know, we kind of looked for it and we knew it was going to happen. But I'm talking about the people out there who supported Barack Obama, for instance.
Every now and then, a couple times a week, we hear little snippets of people who've dropped their guard, you know, legislators and congressmen and even local officials who actually let the mask slip a little and let people know what it is they're really up to and what their agenda is all about.
And do you want to know who is most keenly aware of this?
Sure.
Who? Democrats. Mm. They are keenly aware that their brand is on the verge of going down the toilet.
So what do they plan on doing about it?
Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Mm. We're going to take the break now. When we come back, we got Nostradamus going to predict some, go through some of the past. And you can be a part of the show, too, if you'd like to. 407-774-8255 is our number. We are on AM 660, The Answer. We are the American Adversaries. And we are
live
at the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studio.
We are live and we are hungry.
Dennis and Mayor Adams. Ooh, the American Adversaries. These guys stimulate my brain.
All right, welcome back, folks. And Sunny will be joining us later on in the 7 o'clock hour. And one of the things we're going to talk about with her is there's a Democratic congressman in some big-time hot water out there in California. So we'll be talking about that and some other things with Sunny. In the meantime, before we get to Nostradamus, I just want to finish up this article about talking about Grover Norquist. And I want to refer to an article that was in the Orlando Sentinel Friday morning. And it talks about Grover and his organization. And, of course, we met with him here a few weeks ago at the Center-Right Coalition meeting. And his organization, Americans for Tax Reform, and how they're going to go after more unions. And this is what he said, Grover Norquist. He said that he argued that recent events, I'm reading from the article and then I'm going to quote. I'll tell you when I start to quote. He said by telephone Wednesday, he argued that recent events show that Republicans can fight and win against unions. Now I'm quoting him. Not only can you, but if you don't, you're a weenie. You got that right, Grover. Only I would replace that word unions with liberals or Democrats. Because what he has shown is if you fight them by revealing what they are actually all about, in his case, the union, you got a much better chance of winning the argument.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Guys, you got a feeling, like a feeling of deja vu? Because I'm feeling it, too. Because it's time for
Nostradamus predicts the past.
I predict we have a friend of the show that's going to be joining us in just a minute or two, right after I get done predicting the past.
Does he have food?
No, he does not. Sorry. These are the stories that we tried to get to all week but couldn't because we just had such great guests and such stimulating conversation. We had to put it off until Sunday night. From Wednesday, gun makers are finding greener pastures down south. Gunmakers from the north are going to the Carolinas, Alabama, and other areas in the south for a place to open up shop. Legislators in some states push for bans on the types of rifle used in the Newtown school shooting. New York, Maryland, and Connecticut each passed laws that prohibited certain types of semi-automatic rifles and capped the size of magazines. And companies are reacting to it. Remington Outdoor, the parent company of Marlin, Bushmaster, and other gun brands, is the latest to announce an expansion down south. Its flagship brand, Remington, is the oldest gun maker in the U.S. and has a manufacturing base in Ilion, New York, which is upstate. Earlier this week, the company decided they were going to open up a new plant. Not in New York, in Huntsville, Alabama. Remington Outdoor expects to create more than 2,000 jobs in Huntsville over the next decade to meet growing demands for its product. If you don't want guns in your state, that's fine. But if there are gun makers making guns in your state, expect to lose that revenue.
Mm-hmm. Hey, yeah, it's good business sense.
Have you heard about the Olympian with the alternative lifestyle who won himself a gold award?
I'm afraid to ask after last week.
Yes. David Wise.
50 ways to choose your gender.
Oh, no. This guy is David Wise. He's a freestyle skiing half-pipe gold medalist, and he won his event's first ever Olympic medal because it was a new event. He is kind of alternative in his lifestyle, at least according to Huffington Post.
Do I need to get out the list?
No. Well, get this. Just picture this. He's 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He has a wife, okay. Alexandra. She's a woman. Together, they have a 2-year-old daughter in Reno, Nevada.
Okay.
They're calling this alternative lifestyle. He's married to someone of the other gender.
What?
And had a child after getting married.
That's scandalous.
And this is alternative lifestyle. Wise kind of chuckles about it because he says he knows where his head should be at all times, and that is focused on being the best father and husband he can be. That makes skiing the easy part of his life.
All right. What's his name again?
David Wise.
David Wise is a wise man.
That's what it said in the article, and I let you get that one.
Amen to that.
Have Christians lost the culture war?
They're losing it.
Well, the Southern Baptist Convention has been doing surveys, and they say, yeah, they think they have. They say religious liberty is on the decline in the U.S., and 59% of Christians polled believe they are losing the culture war. 11% considers that war already lost
and cannot be won in the future. Over the past few years, they documented hundreds of instances of religious persecution in the U.S., and the targets have been almost exclusively Christians. The military labeled evangelical Christians and Catholics as religious extremists. Christian organizations like the Family Research Council and the American Family Association were labeled by the military as domestic hate groups. And briefly, they turned their back on that and kind of went down a different road after they were called down on it. Bibles were banned from being brought into Walter Reed Medical Center, of all places. The battleground recently has pitted gay rights groups against Christian-owned businesses that cater to the wedding industry. Mm-hmm. Christian bakers, florists, and photographers have been hauled into court and brought up on state discrimination charges for declining to participate in same-sex weddings. And can I say, if you want a Christian baker to bake your wedding cake and he doesn't want to, don't make him. I'm just a word to the wise. Don't make him do that.
Be spending your honeymoon on the.
They have a law that the Arizona legislature has now passed. It's gone to Jan Brewer to see if she's going to sign it. That's being touted as a religious freedom law, which will allow business owners to refuse on religious grounds, such as providing, say, for a gay wedding or something like that.
So they're allowed to be evil and discriminatory, according to the left.
We'll be talking about that later on Sonny.
How about this one? The unemployment rate, the fake unemployment rate, has been going down steadily since 2010 from a high approaching 10%, which we know is more like 15 or 16, to a current approximately 7.8%, which is really about 12 or 13% if you use a U2 or a U3 number. What is still going up, though? The percentage of population on food stamps. Makes no sense. If the economy is getting better, more people are working, why would food stamps be going up? But apparently more than 15% of the U.S. population, the highest level ever, 47.6 million people are on food stamps. It's almost as if the administration is looking for ways to give away money.
Oh, that's exactly what they're doing. They solicit people to get them into the food stamp programs. Mm-hmm. People who are already buying food and can do that on their own, they're trying to get them into the food stamp program, ostensibly to help them out. Unfortunately, what it does is it gets them onto the government dole.
Mm-hmm. For the longest time, the percentage of people on food stamps was about two-thirds to three-quarters of the number of people at the current poverty rate.
Yeah.
Right now, those numbers are just about the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, in the effort to make the safety net catch more and more people, it stresses the safety net, and soon enough, it's going to bust, and everybody's going to end up collapsing.
It's going to rip right down the middle is what's going to happen.
That's right. By the way, the religious culture war. I think that this goes back to the progressive era 100 years ago. Because that's when they seized, if you will, the high ground on moral issues. Because their whole idea of pressing through progressive ideas were based on moral arguments. The idea of prohibition was based on a moral argument. The idea of women voting was based on a moral argument. And that argument was that men are corruptible, filthy, dirty, hate-mongering idiots, and you need pure, honest, honest and, incorruptible women in part of the process. That was the argument. Now, well, we can argue whether women having the right to vote is a good thing or not is aside from the argument that they used to get that right, which was they bought into the Victorian argument that what's the old rhyme that goes, boys are cats and tails and all that stuff, and girls are sugar and spice and everything nice. Okay, women were held up on a pedestal. They were held to be pure and this and that and the other. So the women's suffragists came along and said, okay, all you men are corruptible. You carry out your politics in saloons. You're a bunch of drunkards. So first of all, we're going to close down the saloons. Second of all, we're going to bring women into the process. And all of this is going to purify everything, you see, and make it much better. It was a moral argument. And the church has lost it ever since. Because everything the government does now, just listen to Barack Obama. It's a moral argument. Income inequality. It's an injustice, right? We got to get people on food stamps. It's a moral thing. We can't let this happen in America. And so the religious institutions have been basically made irrelevant. Just like, say, for instance, the black man. The religious institution in this country is irrelevant. And if they want to get that relevance back, they are going to have to get on the libertarian bandwagon and kick government out of our lives so that they can get back in it. That's the only way it's going to happen. The war is not over, but we sure enough are taking a licking.
Mm-hmm. 1 hour in the can, 2 hours left to go. Come and see us on the other side of the news break. We are the American Adversaries. It is Sunday night. We are live. We're getting a little bit hungry. Just saying.
I can hear your stomach.
Be right back.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
All right, and we're feeling pretty good right now, although we'd feel better if we had our stomachs full of pizza, but yeah, that's all right.
Ship might have sailed.
All right, Welcome to the show, folks.
You are gone.
You are listening to the American Adversaries, and we are entering our second hour of our Sunday evening three-hour tour. I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us. You are listening to us on AM 660, The Answer, coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And of course, Dr. James Hardy with the Mercury Free Studios is my dentist, and he can be your dentist too. Give him a call at 407-678-3399. And he joined us this year as a co-sponsor of our show. And we also now have in the studio with us tonight another brand new co-sponsor of our show. And this is a guy, you know, just like Dr. Hardy, who can do you a lot of good. So can this fella here. And I'm talking about Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Thanks for being with us, and thanks for being a part of the show, Aubrey, literally speaking.
Always a pleasure.
It's always, and don't you just love that accent?
Mm-hmm. You see, the other shows have Mark Stein, we got Aubrey.
That's right.
I think we got a good deal.
That's right.
Amen there.
And Aubrey, you'll be hearing his commercials, Firm Foundation Home Inspection. Now, a lot of people, when they think of home inspections, they just think, the only time I need a home inspector is if I'm buying or selling a house. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, is a time when you do need a home inspector, but there are other times as well, right, Aubrey?
Well, you know, if you want to know what's wrong with your house because you want to do some maintenance, it's always good to have a full inspection. But like our friend Nostradamus.
My situation here, I just got a note in the mail from my insurance company saying they're canceling my homeowner's policy. Well, here's why. It's because my mortgage is about to be paid off.
Congratulations.
So instead of, thank you, but best only good financial decision I ever made. But instead of that and the taxes going through the mortgage like they normally do, you kind of set it and forget it, we're going to have to pay this out of pocket. So we have to reassess what we're doing. And Aubrey was telling me that you can actually you can get the whole place assessed, and you could maybe even save some money on the next insurance policy.
Well, how would they do that?
Yeah, we will come into your home and do what's known as a wind mitigation inspection, where we have a look at how the roof is manufactured and attached to the house, whether you have hurricane proof windows and doors, etc., etc. And depending on the results, your discounts could be anything from 26 to 60%.
Of your insurance
premiums. Of your insurance premiums.
Now, Nostradamus, if he has to get a new insurance company, they are most likely going to require a five-point inspection.
A four-point inspection,
which is...
Well, that's to have a look and see whether you still have 5 years left in your roof, your electrical, your plumbing, and your air conditioning. However, they'll only want that if the house is 25 years old or older.
Mm-hmm.
So if...
Well, I think your house is older than 25 years, isn't it?
It's built in the early 90s, so I think it's a little less than 25, but not much less.
It's getting there, right?
Yeah. It's getting close.
Mm-hmm. All right, so folks, if you own a home, but you are not planning to buy it or sell, you still can benefit from a home inspection. And Aubrey is your man, and it's very reasonable. You'll come out to do a home mitigation inspection.
I do a wind mitigation for $125. I do a four-point for $125, and if you need both, we'll do the two for $150.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a deal.
Because I don't have all the traveling costs involved for a second trip.
And what he'll do is he'll give you a certificate that you then present to the insurance company, which will kick into the discount in. Hmm. And those discounts can be substantial.
Well, if you're going to get 25% off your premium and your premium is $1,500, well, there's $375 that you're saving every year for the next 5 years.
Sure pays for that home inspection, doesn't it?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I guess we got to take Aubrey out to dinner at Positano's, every quarter for the term.
Every quarter? Come on, every week. Come
on. All right, every week. We'll bring out every week. It's still worth it.
Now, you'll be hearing Aubrey's commercials during our shows, but just if you want to write this phone number down right now, just so you'll have it, and write this number down so that you can tell your family and friends about it, because we all know people who own homes. We all know people who at one time or another have an issue with their insurance company. We all know people who are move and buy and sell homes. So you need this. This is one of those numbers you just need in your Rolodex, so to speak. Aubrey's number is 321-624-0254. Once again, that's 321-624-0254. You can call him right now if you like, but give him that, get that number and keep it and give him a call. Like I said, you could be saving yourself some money. And it doesn't matter if you're up for renewal or if it's your, you're having to renew your policy, on an annual basis. You don't need to wait until it comes due. You can do this at any point during the year, right?
Any point, right. And they will discount you and prorate and do whatever's necessary to keep your business.
All right. So
any insurance company in the world that insures here will
anyone that'll that insures here in Florida will do it.
That's right. That's right. The insurance commissioner, I'm sure, would get on them if they didn't. And so that's our man Aubrey Kahn, Firm Foundation Home Inspections. And once again, thanks again, Aubrey, for being a part of the American Adversaries family. We could not do it, ladies and gentlemen, without guys like Aubrey Pasquale, Dr. James Hardy, Ed Roxy, Mara Lee at Vacation Travel Planners. Without sponsors, we can't do the show. It's as simple as that. All right. I want to talk a little bit about climate change. We talked a little bit about this last week. John Kerry is out there. Last Sunday, he was in Indonesia saying that climate change, people who don't believe in it are flat earthers, and it's a bigger threat to the global security of the planet than terrorism and all this sort of nonsense, in my opinion. But I'm not the only one who thinks it's nonsense. And we, long time ago, when we first started talking about this, one of the things that I used to say about this consensus business was, I would go around the room and I would say, okay, guys, name a famous scientist. Like you, Aubrey, name a famous scientist. Anyone.
You're putting me on the spot.
Yeah, well, just any one of them.
Einstein.
Okay. Johnny Guns, name a famous scientist.
Bill Nye.
He is not a scientist.
He is a science guy.
He's a science guy.
All right, Dennis, name a scientist.
Schrodinger.
Were any of these men famous because they were consensus builders, or were the famous scientists that we know all throughout history, like, say, Madame Curie, Now I'm on the spot. I can't think of one. But any famous scientist that we know in history is Newton? Famous because they took consensus and they threw it out the window.
Newton,
that's why
Galileo,
exactly. Copernicus. That's why we know them, because they were the rejection of consensus.
They were the nonconformists.
They were the nonconformists.
They thought outside the box. They burned the box.
The radicals.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, in the past, when people did believe that the earth was flat, were they in the consensus?
No, they were the heretics.
No. Mm-hmm. Were the people who believed that the earth was flat.
Oh, the people who believed the earth was flat.
Were they in the consensus?
Yeah.
They were
the majority. That was what the world believed.
Exactly.
Right. Sure.
And obviously they were wrong.
Yeah.
So being in the consensus when it comes to science is not necessarily the place you want to be.
Yeah, and going against the prevailing logic of the time turned you into a heretic, and you could be burned at the stake.
Right. A fellow by the name of Richard McNider and another fellow by the name of John Christie, no relation that I know of, they are two professors of atmospheric science at the University of Alabama in Huntsville, and they are also fellows at the American Meteorological Society. These are actual atmospheric scientists, right? These are people who, this is what they study in their life. These are not sociologists, psychologists, economists, or even physicists who make up the vast bulk of the global warming nonsense believers, the so-called believers, all right? Not the quote-unquote deniers, but the believers. These guys actually study what they are talking about. And they point out something that that Rick called our show a few weeks ago and pointed out, and that is that all the predictions that the global warming people have made have all been false. They've all been incorrect. They point this out as well. And they point out the fact that that it was the flat earthers who were the consensus in the past. But they also make another point, and this is something that I started bringing out recently when we talk about this climate science stuff. Because part of the argument that the global warming crowd falls back on when you keep slapping them upside the head with facts that refute their argument, they finally fall back on this worn-out phrase. Well, just in case we are right, we need to go ahead and make these precautions. And it wouldn't hurt anything, would it, to go to renewable energy sources? It would be harmless. That is where their argument is dead wrong. They are causing insurmountable harm to the human race on this planet, and I would dare say to the planet itself. Because everything they do is backwards and upside down. Every government solution always makes the problem worse. Can you name a government solution that has actually solved a problem? It is very rare. Usually, the government solutions that solve the problems are the solutions that solve the problems that government created. Like welfare reform. Do you know that Newt Gingrich's, the welfare reform that was vetoed by Bill Clinton three times and he finally signed into law, that law was for decades, if it's not still today, held to be one of the most successful laws that legislators ever passed? The welfare reform law. And did it really address the problem of poverty, or did it address the problem created by the solution to it? It addressed the latter. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So to make the argument that what they're doing is harmless and yet may be good is wrong. And we need to attack them on that front. And I'll continue this when we come back, because there's a little bit of this article I want to read to you here that makes that point.
It's a Sunday night American Adversary show. We're almost in international waters. We get out there for about 10 or 20 minutes and we turn around and head on back home. So stick with us. We will return.
Just long enough to roll the dice.
Killer B, Brian Blair. And you know, I've held more titles than Moolah's got wrinkles. But my favorite champions are those on the American Adversaries. Lair, Chris, Nostradamus on AM 660, The Answer.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. You are listening to The American Adversaries, and we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Remember, for the best in mercury free dentistry, call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399, and he is going to be very happy with Joe Turp, who just came in and dropped off some chocolatey goodness for us. Dennis is digging into, and Chris has already had about four brownies, and he's going to go see the dentist this week.
Okay. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. We got Aubrey Hewitt with us. Did I say Hewitt? Aubrey Kahn with us tonight, and he's going to be back with us momentarily. Joseph has borrowed him for a few minutes. But I want to continue talking about this climate change business, because this is something that not only do conservatives, they need to go on the offense. Remember we talked a little while ago about Grover Norquist showing how if you go on the offense, if you make the argument and you make the argument right, you can win. And if you don't do it, you're a weenie.
Yeah.
Okay. The Republicans and conservatives have been weenies on this climate change business. And it really slammed me in the face last week when I was watching the talking shows. And the conservative talking heads on the Sunday morning shows, most conservatives believe in human-caused global warming. And I'm going, what conservatives?
Can I have a list?
Where are you getting that from?
Well, that's what I'd like to know. But let's presume for a moment that it's true. Mm-hmm. It's only true because every argument that the conservatives are making is a defensive argument about this. Okay? Mm-hmm. No, they're wrong about this. They're wrong about the facts. And those are all accurate arguments. The problem is it doesn't go far enough. Because the liberal can always fall back on that. Well, maybe it is happening, maybe it isn't. But we, just to be safe and just to be cautious, let's go ahead with the renewable energy and the Barack Obama and all that stuff. Because, you know, we want to be better safe than sorry. Mm-hmm. The only problem with that is that assumes that their solutions are better than what we have now, or are quote-unquote safe, or that the consensus view is a safe view to have. And I'm here to argue that it is not, that what these people are doing is harmful not only to human beings but to the planet as well. Windmills chopping up birds, you cannot tell me that that is good for the conservation of wildlife on the planet. Solar power stations that create tremendous heat and incinerate living organisms is not, in my opinion, a good way to go, especially when you examine the efficiency of such systems. And they are grossly inefficient. Inefficient, which means they are detrimental to the environment. That's one of the definitions of the word inefficiency. It is detrimental. Now, let me just go back to this article for a minute, because I think maybe this will help flesh out my point here. Let me read now from the article. The consensus community uses this to push the view that the science is settled and holds up skeptics to ridicule, as John Kerry did on Sunday. The science is settled. That's another thing. Anytime you ever hear anybody, be the president of the United States or anybody that says they're a scientist that tells you the science is settled, that right there, you know you're talking to an idiot. Because science is never settled. Nothing in science is ever settled. That's what science research is all about.
The science was settled when we decided that the Earth was flat.
Yeah. Exactly.
Till it was unsettled.
Or, for instance, in this instance, now I read from the article, we are reminded of the dangers of consensus science in the past. For example, in the 18th century, more British sailors died of scurvy than died in battle. In this disease, brought on by a lack of vitamin C, the body loses its ability to manufacture collagen, and gums and other tissues bleed and disintegrate. These deaths were especially tragic because many sea captains and some ship's doctors knew, based on observations early in the century, that fresh vegetables and citrus cured scurvy. Ship's captains and doctors, the people who dealt with the sailors with scurvy, knew better than the consensus science. I now read on. Nonetheless, The British Admiralty's Onshore Sick and Health Board of Scientists and Physicians, somewhat akin to the current Intergovernment Panel on Climate Change, dismissed this evidence for more than 50 years because it did not fit their consensus theory that putrefaction caused scurvy, which they felt could be cured by fresh air, exercise, and laxatives. I laugh, but how many men died because these people and their consensus refused to face the facts?
Yeah.
Let me read on. Consensus science that ignores reality can have tragic consequences if cures are ignored or promising research is abandoned. The climate change consensus is not endangering lives, but the way it imperils economic growth and warps government policy making has made the future considerably bleaker. I would beg to disagree with these guys. I say that it does endanger the climate, because they don't know what the heck they are doing. The recent Obama administration announcement that it would not provide aid for fossil fuel energy in developing countries, thereby consigning millions of people to energy poverty, is all too reminiscent of the Sick and Health Board denying fresh fruit to dying British sailors. We should not have a climate science research program that searches only for ways to confirm prevailing theories. And we should not honor government leaders such as John Kerry, who attack others for their inconvenient facts base views. And we should not be tolerating trips down a road that we do not know where it is leading us to. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to go down the liberal road here. Now, I hope you folks kind of go with me for a second. Okay? They believe, as I do, too.
Leave a trail of breadcrumbs so you can get back.
They believe that the earth is alive. I do, too. Mm-hmm. All right, I believe this. We've talked about this. Paul Harvey has talked on his show. We used his quote last week. Paul Harvey used to talk on his show how the planet breathes. It inhales and it exhales. It also has a pulse because it has an electromagnetic beat, if you will. And so it can be measured. Scientists can measure these things. So I will accept the argument that the Earth is alive. Now, from that, the liberals would have us believe that human beings are somehow a cancer on this living planet. They would have us believe that everything else in nature is here and it is good and it has a great purpose, except human beings. Human beings are the lone exception. Now, obviously, that's convenient because it fits with their politics, right? I mean, not one other species is out of line, just us. Well, let's perhaps think for a moment that maybe they got that one wrong, too. And that maybe human beings are a part of the overall grand scheme of our beautiful natural environment.
You think?
And that what human beings naturally do, which is to live and breathe and pollute, is exactly what the planet wants. You follow me there? That human activity on this planet is what the planet wants.
So pollution.
And what the planet needs.
So pollution is all good?
Yes! Human pollution is good. And that is the argument that we need to take to the liberals. That human beings are a good part of nature. What we do on this planet, whether it's on purpose or by accident, is, and I do mean literally, by God, good. And that what they are doing, they are the ones who are threatening the environment. They are the ones who are threatening the people on this planet. They are the ones who need to be told where to go take a flying leap.
We're the American adversaries. We'll be right back.
There's too much Perry's on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
You know what's just as sweet, or maybe even a little sweeter than one of Merrily's delicious brownies?
Nothing.
It's giving stuff away.
We like to give stuff away
to our best listeners in Central Florida. Make sure you pull out your cell phone and get ready to dial these numbers. 407-774-8255. That's 407-774-TALK. Because, you know, we usually do the Who Said That contest, but we're actually putting that on the shelf for this week.
Are we doing Who Is That again?
No, I'm not going to do Who Is That. That's still in the closet picking up dust.
How about when was that?
No. Maybe that's something we'll pull out for a future week. Okay. No, we're going to do something brand new. And to tell us what it is, Christopher Hart.
Okay, tonight instead of our Who Said That contest, we're going to do a contest called Where Is That?
Where is that?
I'm going to tell you a fact, and then you just have to tell us where it is, okay? All right, so we'll get to that here in just a second. And don't forget, sometime during this show, we also have a couple of bottles of Roxy Pacifics to give away. But right now, we have a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano and a T-shirt from My Liberty Threads as part of the prize package for tonight's contest.
You're right. That is sweet, John. T-shirts are sweet.
Yeah. I love those shirts.
They're great. You can find out. You can get your own. You can buy them by the single or by the quantity at MyLibertyThreads.com. Scott Miller does a great job. He goes to events all over the country, too, and people just love these T-shirts. MyLibertyThreads.com. They're male and female versions, and great stuff on the front of these T-shirts. You will love it.
And the gift cards are sweet, too, if you order the tiramisu.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Sweet.
$20.
Sweet.
Go to Cafe Positano with that gift card in your pocket. Okay, so you know the way we play this. It's very similar to our Who Said That contest. I'm gonna read you a factoid, and then you just tell us what the answer to it is. You'll see what I mean here in just a second. Real simple. The phone number is 407-774-8255. So Where Is That is the name of the contest. You know, this past Monday was President's Day. And part of the reason why we celebrate President's Day is because when we were kids, they used to have Washington's birthday and they used to have Lincoln's birthday separate. Do you remember that?
And it was so confusing because they were on the same day every year. Wait a minute. That's not confusing at all.
So now it's President's Day. We celebrated it Monday, and we talked a little bit on our Monday show about it. Johnny did a really great presidents in their own words from FDR on, and it's really great stuff. And if you did not hear Monday's show, you can go to our archive, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and you can find it real conveniently there. But in the vein of Monday being President's Day, I came up with this, talking about Abraham Lincoln. Where did Abraham, old honest Abe, keep his most important papers?
Hmm.
Where is that?
Hmm.
Where is it that Abraham Lincoln kept his most important papers? If you know where that is, give us a call, 407-774-8255. If you'd just like to make a guess, who knows? If you make the first guess and nobody gets it right, the first guess will be the winner. 407-774-8255 is the number. If you think you know where good old honest Abe kept his important papers.
Well, if you remember, Napoleon Bonaparte kept the Drake's cakes right inside his little pocket. That's why he kept his hand inside.
Don't give out any hints.
No,
I
wasn't there.
Where did honest Abe keep his most important papers? If you know, give us a call, 407-774-8255. You'll win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano and a T-shirt from Scott Miller over to My Liberty Threads. That's MyLibertyThreads.com. Okay, I want to move on, and I'm not quite finished, though, talking about this thing about climate change, because I think it's important that, you know, we've been sort of whipped into this argument that if it weren't for the fact that the climate change people, you know, weren't just wrong on the facts, that it would be okay, you know, green energy, it's not all that. No, that is a wrong assumption. The opposite assumption needs to be taken, and that is that their solutions are not only bad for human beings, but bad for the planet. They are actually impractical and unusable. Dennis, you were talking during the break about a scientist.
Yeah, Yaron Brook, not a scientist. He's the president and the founder of the Ayn Rand Institute. And
I believe he's an economist.
Yeah, they're a libertarian, libertarian think tank, basically, just have some of the best minds when it comes to envisioning the future and what it's going to look like. And Yaron Brook was one of Glenn Beck's earliest guests on his TV show back when he had it way on. It might have been on Headline News. That's how long ago. And he was willing to concede that there might be a problem with global warming and it might be partially caused by man. He didn't believe that, but he was willing to take that step back. But what he said was, if that's the case, then trying to solve this in the way they say we should solve it is throwing trillions of money basically onto a roulette table with a 1% chance that anything would be accomplished. And if it were accomplished, it would be maybe a change of 1 degree centigrade in the temperature of the Earth over the span of several hundred years. In other words, it's a money pit is what it is. And someone's at the bottom of that money pit taking in all that money.
Right. And you speaking of the money, and of course, the biggest proponents of this climate change argument, guess what? Profit the most from it.
Al Gore.
Al Gore for one. That's right. He's not the only one. As a matter of fact, when John Kerry gave his little speech last week, he referred to another fella who it turns out that this guy, oh yeah, here's his name right here. Have you ever heard of Maurice Strong? He was quoted in the opening of John Kerry's comments last week, and he quoted Maurice Strong as saying, and I quote, "Every bit of evidence I've seen persuades me that we are on a course leading to tragedy." Of course, talking about human involvement and pollution and all that stuff. And Maurice Strong, it turns out, was part of the Iraqi oil scandal. Do you remember the Iraqi oil scandal?
You talk about the UN scandal with Iraq and oil for food?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that John Kerry would choose this man to be the man that he's quoting. Basically, the guy's a criminal. But that's what they have to fall back on because they don't have any real science to fall on. But once again, we can't just fall into the trap of trying to discredit their argument from the factual standpoint. We have to go on the offensive like Grover Norquist did and say, look, their argument, not only is it wrong factually, but it is destructive. It is destructive economically. It is destructive to human beings. And here's the clincher. It is destructive to the planet as well. Okay? All right. Let's see. We have some callers lining up. So I'll let those get lined up. But we're playing our Where Is That contest tonight in lieu of our Who Said That contest. The prize package is a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano and a My Liberty Threads t-shirt. And all you need to do is tell us, where did old Honest Abe Lincoln keep his most important papers? Okay? If you know where that is, you can give us a call at 407-774-8255. I'm waiting to see what we got up here on
We'll give it a minute or two because Jeff's lining them all up.
Yeah, Jeff's got his hands full in there. I guess the phone
trying
lines.
Trying to be fair with all the listeners.
Lit up right away. Made this one too easy tonight. We'll find out.
I just want to know, what kind of papers are we talking about? Are we talking like speeches or driver's license?
Important papers.
This would be
toilet paper.
I guess whatever's most important to you.
His voter ID card, maybe?
Exactly.
All right. Let's see. Let's first go to our good friend Tim, who's calling. Tim, how you doing tonight?
I'm hanging in there.
Okay. All right. So do you know where Honest Abe kept his most important papers?
So I once heard this from Carnac the Magnificent.
Oh, boy.
Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
They are hermetically sealed in a mayonnaise jar in Conshohocken, Pennsylvania.
Run again, camel breath.
That is where they are now. Where did he keep them when he was alive?
Oh, okay. I missed that. Yeah. I just love having the wrongest answer of the night.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we appreciate you, Tim, so very much. And thanks again.
All right.
We'll
keep
see
up the good work.
Yeah, we'll be at Positano Wednesday night this week. Okay.
All right. See you there, I hope.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Before we go to the break, let's go to Jason from Oviedo, who thinks he knows where Honest Abe kept his most important papers. Thank you, Jason, for calling tonight.
Hi.
How you doing?
Not too bad. I think I know the answer.
Okay. Where was it?
He kept his important papers in his hat.
He showed up then.
Wow. That's some big hat.
Yeah. Keep toilet paper in there?
Well, it was a stovepipe hat, you know. I guess you could stuff a lot of stuff in there, you know.
Legal paper size, right?
Yeah. How did you know that, Jason?
I don't remember where I heard it, but I was pretty sure that's where he kept his papers. I think I read it on the internet or something.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
He posted it on the internet himself, Abe Lincoln.
Yeah.
because he invented Facebook. The first Facebook page.
You know, he knew to keep them close. Hey, listen, Jason, have you gotten a bottle of Roxy Pacifics yet?
No.
Well, we're gonna throw that into prize package too. So, and give Jeff your shirt size. Congratulations.
All right. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for listening to the American Adversaries.
I love your show. I listen to it every day that I'm able to now.
Well, God bless you, Jason. Keep it up. Keep up the good work.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Professional wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I know wrestling. And for the best in political professional wrestling, listen to the American Adversaries, tough guy.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries on our three-hour Sunday evening tour, coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios on AM 660, The Answer. Our number is 407-774-8255. And if you want to be a part of the show, and yeah, Jason, he's our contest winner tonight. Where is that? All honesty, Abe kept his important papers, evidently including toilet paper, according to Johnny, stuffed in his hat.
It's the Where is the Hat contest.
That's right. So, yeah. Okay, we'll, once again, folks, next week we'll be back to our Who Said That contest, and you'll be able to get a chance to win. And don't forget, sometime between now and the end of the show, we still have a couple of bottles of Roxy Pacifics to give away on the rocks. Of course, Roxy Pacifics is the great all-natural kelp water, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, just the right chemical mix for your skin to grow. So you'll want to get a hold of that if you can. And if you'd like to just find out more about it, or perhaps just go ahead and buy your own bottle, go to Roxy Pacifics. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X.net. Okay, I want to put the finishing touches, if you will, and transition into what an article called the Rube Goldberg Democrats. Let me just say this about the climate change thing is, first of all, their solutions aren't worth a hoot. This is what Dennis was talking about, for one. And their solutions need to be discredited. All right. George W. Bush, bless his heart, but standing up and saying that we're going to grow switchgrass in Texas and make biofuel out of it is nonsense. Okay. It's just nonsense. It's all it is. And to even buy into these arguments is detrimental. This argument needs to be discredited. It needs to be explained that its solutions will do more harm than good. The Europeans are already recognizing this. They are moving away from the quote-unquote renewable energy sources because they don't work. They are just a pie in the sky bunch of nothing that causes a lot of harm and pain along the way. It must be attacked on that ground. It can no longer simply be they're wrong. Not only are they wrong, but they are dangerous. That's the point that I'm trying to make here. That's the point that these two scientists were trying to make, that this whole notion of consensus is dangerous. And especially in this case, because look at what they're trying to do with it. They are trying to alter governments around this world. I don't know of anything that can be more dangerous than that, because you're going to be talking about a lot of dead people and a whole lot unhealthy planet. Now, having said that, let me go on to this thing. I want to talk about this article by Daniel Henninger. He writes some great articles for the Wall Street Journal, and his latest one in Thursday's Wall Street is entitled "The Rube Goldberg Democrats." You guys remember the Rube Goldberg thing,
right? The kind of convoluted contraption that doesn't work, basically. That does something simply, complicatedly.
Exactly, but doesn't serve any useful purpose. Right. And he's saying that is basically what big government is. And, oh boy, is he ever right about that. And why is this important right now, though, for us to understand? And this goes back to me saying I would kiss Barack Obama were he in the studio way back then and even tonight. And that is that they have exposed not only big government as being Rube Goldbergish, but that the Democrats as well, because they are the trumpeters. They are the proponents of big government solutions, right? They are the ones Well, I guess we could argue that many Republicans are, too, in this day and age. But
they're the leaders. The Republicans are following them, for the most part.
Exactly. And what that is it's now becoming an albatross around their neck, thanks to Obamacare. Obamacare is simply the most glaring example of the, what was it, the Rube Goldberg thing again?
It was a convoluted, unwieldy, extraneous contraption with thousands of moving parts, which could easily be replaced by one or two simple ones.
Kind of like Obamacare.
Kind of like Obamacare. Mm-hmm. So dismantling it makes it even tougher.
Exactly. And that is the nature of big government in general. And the problem with Democrats, and this is what he's talking about here, is that the Democrats now own that. They own the Rube Goldberg model of governing. All right? Because they are the proponents of big government. They are the ones who jammed Obamacare down our throats. Obamacare is just the most glaring example of what we now know big government to be. And in this, the president has actually done us a favor in a roundabout way. Because he has shown us. But let me just read a little bit from the guy's article. This is Daniel Henninger, Thursday. The Rube Goldberg Democrats means that whether from laziness or arrogance, talking about the Democrats, the party is now producing political contraptions that are monuments to inefficiency, incomprehension, and unworkability. Before Obamacare, it often went unnoticed. But the health care law sits out in plain view, letting every voter connect the dots between political promise and non-performance. No quick patch is likely for a brand problem on this scale, talking about the brand of the Democrat Party. Congressional Democrats Ann Kirkpatrick of Arizona and Joe Garcia in Florida have produced ads saying they fought the glitches but now want to fix the contraption. Millions will be spent repositioning the party's image. The GOP could still blow their historic opportunity this year. Brands collapse because consumers have good choices. Talking about the Democratic brand is going in the toilet. But here's the caution. It may be true that Obamacare has exposed the Democrats as a party of bells, whistles, and rotating pinwheels, but absent a better product, it will lumber forward. And there's the catch. The Democrats are set up. Their whole governing philosophy is set up for a tremendous drubbing, not only in this election, but in elections for the foreseeable future. If the Republicans can provide an alternative.
You know what? As much as entrenched Republicans are a bad thing and need to be taken out of office and replaced by newer, fresher minds, every incumbent Republican who wants to run for election again can put this sticker on their campaign. Don't blame me. I voted against Obamacare. Every single darn one of them.
And that's part of the problem the Democrats have. But once again, the Republicans have this tremendous opportunity to take the offensive here. This has sort of been my theme all night long. I don't know if you picked up on it yet. But with Grover Norquist, he was on the offense. Mm-hmm. With what I'm talking about with the scientists, we need to go on the offense. And in this particular case, too, the Republicans need to be on the offense. They need to, as you just did in a roundabout way, tie Democrats to this big government inefficient monstrosity, and do not let them get away from it. Do not let that happen. And it can be done. Norquist has shown it can be done. He did it with billboards. Billboards. Okay? It can be done. All you have to do is put the proper argument in front of the people's eyes. Then they look at the real situation. They look at your argument and they go, huh, golly, he's right. Or she's right. And so the path for success is there. The opportunity is there. Will the Republicans be up to the task? We shall see.
Hey, the ball's on the ground. It's a free ball. Pick it up and start running with it.
All they got to do is pick it up and start running, but in the right direction.
Well, yeah, you've got to do that too, sure.
But as I said, the path forward has been shown, and it ain't the way we've been doing things, all right? Now, I want to close out this segment talking a little bit about Ted Cruz. because the Cruz critics are out thick. I mean, from Michael Medved to Karl Rove to John McCain, you name them, you can find a Cruz critic easier than you can find a penny in a cash register.
It's easy to be a Ted Cruz critic.
Right. But now, part of the problem that they have with Ted Cruz is Ted Cruz represents a true change from the past. He's more Reagan-esque than any of the other people in Congress, I'll tell you that right now, in the sense that Reagan was willing to break with the establishment. He was willing to go out on a limb on his own. He ran against an incumbent president for the nomination, Gerald Ford. Mm-hmm. I mean, that you don't do that, right? That's unheard of. And so the problem that Ted Cruz has is that he has pegged the Republicans too accurately. This most recent kerfluffle that he's had with the party over raising the debt limit. Cruz believes that the Republican establishment actually wants this country in more debt. That they say they can't help it, but in his mind, that is just a lie. And I'm not so sure that he's not right.
Well, a crack addict can't help wanting crack either, can he?
It's sort of the same situation. Sort of the same situation. Democrat light, whatever you call it. Limbaugh says they just want to be able to control the big government of their own, talking about the Republicans. But what Ted Cruz exposes is that they have compromised their whole philosophy and that they are not really true conservatives in the sense that Ronald Reagan was, or even Ted Cruz. That is a big problem yet for the party to solve.
The American Adversaries, 2 hours in the can. One more left. Stay here.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
It's Sunday night, and the American Adversaries are on the air. We don't have our fifth wheel, Carl Jackson, tonight. We don't even have our second wheel, Lair Adams. We're basically a tricycle tonight. And what better thing to do with a tricycle than to get a pretty girl to join us? Mm-hmm. How about sunny Patricia Summerland, our California glow girl? Welcome back to the American Adversaries, Sunny.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
We're well. How are things out there in sunny California?
Oh, it's a beautiful day. It's, I would say, early 70s, and then at night it's in the low 50s.
Ooh.
However, I'm just passing through a wonderful flu, so I apologize if I snap, crackle, or pop out there.
You always pop.
I do have a joke for you guys real quick before we enter into a wonderful discussion about what we're going to speak about.
Hit us up.
Okay.
And I thought, you guys are very smart. Let's see if you'll get this.
All right.
And Sonny always opened with knock-knock jokes in the ring, right?
Yep.
Was to piss off my opponent, whoever I was wrestling against. So here's my thing. Why are there no knock-knock jokes about America?
Why are there no knock-knock jokes about America?
Hmm.
I don't know, Sonny. Why are there no knock-knock jokes about America?
Because freedom rings.
Ah!
Ding, ding, ding.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Go, girl.
Oh, boy. That's a good
point. That is great. Great way to start. Great way to start us off. Sonny, you were telling me a couple of days ago that there's a congressional scandal going on in California. I had not heard anything about this. Can you tell us a little about it?
Okay, what it is, it's the Calderon case. He's a Democrat from Montebello, California. And they want him to resign. His full name is Senator Ronald Calderon. He was charged Friday with 24 federal counts.
Ooh.
Involving the taking of $100,000 in bribes to affect legislation. They want him out. Everybody's unhappy with this guy. So,
wow.
Is the Democratic leadership there putting pressure on him to step down?
Oh, yeah. There. Oh, yeah. And at this point, I'm learning that a senator can be suspended by a majority vote of a body expulsion, which would require a two-thirds vote to get him out.
So,
as it's going through this criminal trial, I mean, he's heading for some serious charges in this case.
No doubt. This is a big-time indictment, that's for sure. And, you know, Ray Nagin, the former mayor of New Orleans, was just convicted of bribery charges. So
he's in jail right
this
now.
This is nothing to shake a stick at. Is this breaking big in the media in California? Is this getting a lot of play?
Yes, it is. It is on our news, on our trendy news and everything. So, and guess who he's got who's backing him, which, you know, we all know this name, Mark Garagos. Good attorney.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll be defending him in court, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's a big time celebrity lawyer.
The attorney for OJ.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of legislation was it that he's accused of taking money to effect?
I believe probably for the city of Montebello.
Okay.
It looks like to me here. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the heart of the public, a lot of the public, which is, you know, they want him out of there. So if he represents Montebello, that would be my guess. You know, it's sort of like the Bell case, you know, and that's still going on, which they're still working on other things with that.
Yeah, unfolding. The city of Bell is a ridiculous example of, A, people who just don't follow the political process of their own city, and B, people who are greedy enough to steal that much in such a short time from their own city coffers.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. You know, that doesn't look good to be a public official. And, you know, when you sign on to be a public official, you're supposed to stand by the code of ethics as well as any official that represents, you know, our fine America.
You're absolutely
know?
Right
and
about
it's
that.
Sad that happens.
Is this Congressman Calderon, is he protesting, saying he's innocent of the charges, or has he made any statements at all?
Well, of course. I mean, there's a lot of going on. I didn't really get into that part. As it unfolds, I will. I believe probably next time you will have more on that.
He was just indicted, though, Friday, you said.
Yeah.
Okay, he probably hasn't had a chance to respond yet. All right, we'll have to keep following that because, of course, you know, the Democrats are very powerful in California, and this sort of thing can't help their brand, so to speak.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. No.
Well, all right. Sonny, there was another interesting story that we ran across on our tip sheet this week, and it got a little play in the media, but not a whole lot. And it has to do with softball, softball California style, if you will.
That's right.
Yeah, you want to tell us what's going on?
Well, I guess in January there was the California law took effect on the transgender for all students to have a chance, basically. And this goes to a child. Well, I wouldn't say a child. She's 17, or he, Azusa High School girl softball team will include the state's first transgender student.
Now, this person is born a boy and still has boy parts, correct?
Correct. She was born a boy, yes, but identifies as a girl and will be allowed to play on the girls' team. And that was ruled. And her name is Pat Cordova Goff, I want to say.
Pat.
Well, yeah, it's Pat.
Yeah.
Sure.
There you go. Well, we found a few Pats. There was a Pat on Saturday Night Live, I think. That's right.
That's right.
You know,
yep.
Right?
Now, how old is Pat? How old is the person?
17.
So this is a high school softball team.
This would be, yes. I guess she plays quite well. And she started on the team as a freshman. And the superintendent, Linda Kaminsky, said that as the number one district, we want to ensure access to everyone. But they are committed to placing students on the team by their merits and their skills. So in other words, not by their gender. So
What do other high school teams, has there been any controversy from the other high school teams that feel that this is, if you will, a form of cheating?
No, I have not read into that. It was basically they're talking about this, and this, again, is the first high school, to my understanding, the first student that's able to make this play. You know, she's got the A1 thumbs up. And they're also saying that per one-on-one, let's say a girl versus, you know, if you will, a boy, it's equal play on the field, that she or he, the transgender Pat, is not placing any strong man effects, the manly presence in the softball team. She plays equally as a girl.
Well, in Pat's defense, Pat looks like about half the members of a regular women's softball team. Because there are lots of pretty feminine-looking girls on a softball team, but there are a lot of girls who are big, who are husky, who are built, and who look like John Kruk, basically.
Is this student doing anything to change their gender, or is undergoing surgery or anything?
No, she hopes in the near future. You know, in my knowledge of this, it's quite costly. It's not something easy to go under and do as well as a procedure. Into, you know, defense of the transgender audience out there. Mm-hmm. It is a costly event.
But the people who undergo these surgeries have an extraordinarily high suicide rate later on down the line. And it begs the question, is there something else going on here? You know, where they're just totally dissatisfied. It's more of a self-esteem thing than, say, a gender thing.
That could be quite costing and quite costly on the health of it.
And you don't want to go through surgery like that and then find out at the other end it was sham surgery and you're still the same gender you were when you went in. Because that wouldn't be good at all.
We were talking about that at the beginning of the show to update you, Sonny, that the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, is promoting placebo surgery, where surgeons will actually open a person's body up as though they were going through and putting in a medical device, say a heart stent or something, a pacemaker or something, and not actually doing it. So that they will have an experimental balance against the people who do actually get it. So that's what Nostradamus was.
It's easy to check this one, though.
Yeah.
Only Nostradamus. But I'm wondering now that this is occurred in California, is this going to be more commonplace now? Because as you said, that law just went into effect. Which, in effect, allows a student, a child, to decide for themselves beyond scientific evidence what gender they are. And I presume that they can change it back.
They're going to have to change the bathroom, like we were talking about, the stalls. I presume they're going into a stall because that is going to confuse girls, and girls don't have to be subjected to the male parts as they're doing their, you know, business in the bathroom. So I'm sure that's going to have a lot of, you know, hearsay, a lot of fights in some schools.
Private
schools.
There's a whole lot of practical things here that don't seem to be being considered. And that is the fact that maybe some of those girls on that softball team, as you say, are uncomfortable in that situation. And do they not have rights of their own?
Yeah, what does the team think of it?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And also, let's not forget the menstrual cycles that the actual, you know, girls go through. Are they going to feel comfortable with a male as posing, you know, not posing as a girl, but not still able to, you know, have her menstrual cycle, but she's in there, you know, urinating. And that's got to be a little difficult, but I'm sure hopefully they'll work that out there at Azusa High School.
I have a solution. Every high school needs to have 50 softball teams.
The male, the female.
Oh, no. No,
the
no, gender queer, no.
The boy. The CIS slash dot man boy.
The 50 ways
child.
To choose your gender.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll work it out, though, you know, because as this unfolds, there's going to be a lot of transgenders that will surface, and they deserve their own rights. They are people,
well,
and they're wonderful people. I mean, hey, they're great at sports. It's been proven. They're great at everything we are. So, I mean, give them a chance is what I say. But just also let the private end of it, the private sector, it's got to be separate.
To
a fault while they're going through their change.
Right.
When they're changed, yeah, hey, they're the same as we are at that point. But
if there's that many of them out there, Sonny, they can form a league of their own.
This is true. That's good.
Yeah.
All
you know, I know.
Which leads me into, real quick, guys, on Arizona. I don't know if you heard about this.
Okay, go ahead.
Arizona's doing, they're doing the opposite. They're trying to pass a bill on the effects of any gay person not to be able to serve them.
Yeah, I think they call it
the business.
They call it the religion. I think they call it the religious freedom law or religious freedom bill or something to that effect.
Yes,
and what they're doing is they're saying that a proprietor, a small business owner, can refuse service to someone based on religious grounds if it has to do with, say, a gay marriage or something like that.
Yes.
And you're right, Sonny, that this goes in the other direction, and. Some people would say, you know, that a business owner should have that discrimination, that power to discriminate, if they will, on religious grounds. Nostradamus said, you know, if you are a gay couple, why would you want someone who doesn't believe in what you're doing making your product? I mean, that might be asking for trouble.
Right. You don't want to give them business, and certainly you don't want them making food for you.
Right. Right, and I can see where it would be an opportunity for other businesses. They can market themselves. Hey, we serve everybody.
No questions asked. Gay cake wedding cake maker.
Sure. Right. Now, I believe this has passed the Arizona legislature, but the governor hasn't signed it yet, Sonny?
Yes. There's still a few that are disagreeing, which I think it is. I think good business is all business, in my opinion.
Well, don't
discriminate. Don't hate. You know, bring the money. Because they have money just because they're gay or they're lesbian. Hey, they still pay, and they're actually, you know, quiet. This just creates another riot for them in Arizona. Arizona's tough. They were tough on their immigration, you know, on the immigration stuff. But probably not as much as they're doing on this, which is crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Johnny, you were going to say.
I was just going to agree with Sonny. It's like their money is green just like anybody else's money is green. You can still spend it just like anybody else's money.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. So why create, like, hey, I'm better than you because, you know, I believe in a man and woman. Well, hey, you know, right now, even the Olympics has proved wrong. I mean, everyone tries to oppose this. It's like, just let it go. They live in this world. They're here. Whatever they are, let them be happy. You know, if they're not in your face and not in your household, what's the problem, you know?
All right. Hey, Sonny, we appreciate it. Thanks. Great work. Great work keeping us up to date on stuff happening out there in California.
Thank you very much, guys. My pleasure, as always.
All right. Well, you take care of that cold, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Goodbye. That's Sonny Patricia Summerlin, our California glow girl.
There might be tornadoes in Central Florida, but it's sunny anyway. We'll be right back.
Brian Blair, the Killer Bee, and I just strolled down I-4 from T-Town just to be live in the hive with the American adversaries. I'm talking about the Chris, the Lar, the Nostradamus, all on AM 660, The Answer.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. I am Christopher Hart, along with Nostradamus and Johnny Guns. We're in the studio with you live. Aubrey Khan is around here somewhere.
Yeah, he's running around with Terp.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Thank God they left the brownies in here, though.
Amen
now, wait,
to
does
that.
This mean that are we officially in the mercury-free beehive? Is that what this place
We're
is?
Live from the hive.
Wow.
The mercury-free hive. I do that. I like that, too. Jeff Sinis is guiding us through the ether tonight. Lar Adams will be back tomorrow night. And Carl Jackson will be back with us next Sunday night.
So he says.
Yeah, he'll be back.
We'll see.
He'll be back. But you know what? I tell you what, Before we get any further into this show, because we're beginning to come around the bend to wrap this thing up, and that is we need to give away some Roxy Pacifics.
Yes.
This is On the Rocks, compliments of Ed and Luann Roxy, and Roxy Pacifics, in case you don't know, folks, you need this stuff in your medicine cabinet for that burn, that cut, that scrape, that bruise, that swelling, or that chronic problem you have with your skin, that sore throat.
I needed it down my throat this weekend.
And it really does work. And that's because it's an all-natural kelp water, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory. It's got the just the right balance of key vitamins and minerals that are essential to make your skin grow healthily. This isn't a product like a cream or an ointment, which is just going to cover up your problem. This is a product that is going to help your skin grow out of it. So this is the stuff you need for that skin problem that we all have at times. During times of our life. I even got a report the other day, somebody's been using this for their hemorrhoids. So, hey, it's got all kinds of uses.
Wow.
Yes. So it's all natural kelp water. If you would like a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics, the only rule is you can't have already won one. But if you're one of the first two callers at 407-774-8255, you will get a free sample bottle of Roxy Pacifics. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X.net. And don't forget, when you go on their website and you see the price, prices per bottle, that's the total price you pay, shipping and handling included.
You know, the hemorrhoid issue, that makes perfect sense, because what does Roxy do? It reduces swelling and itching, which is exactly the symptoms you can get rid of.
Get rid of your pain in the...
Yeah.
You know.
Thank you for that.
Thank you, Ed
Roxy. Thank you for that explanation, Dr. Dennis.
Don't need preparation anything. Just get some Roxy.
As I said, folks, if you get this, you will be able to throw just about all that other stuff in your medicine cabinet away. Throw it all out. Just keep the Band-Aids and the alcohol and the hydrogen peroxide. Throw everything else away, because this stuff will replace it. Okay, first two callers, 407-774-8255. Get that free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. And don't forget, we got more of this stuff to give away during the week, and it's On the Rocks. While Jeff takes care of that, we got a couple minutes left in this segment. Real quickly, I just want to, kind of go back to these gay issue things here, because... You know, Sonny kind of took us out there on, I think, the right theme, and that is that why should this even be an issue? You know, who cares? And it reminds me of this basketball player that came out, Jason Collins.
Jason Collins,
right?
Sure.
And he just got signed on a 10-day contract.
Yeah, with the Nets.
But the guy has been having a hard time getting signed this year. And I was listening to sports radio earlier today, and the question was put to Jason Collins, do you think it's because you're gay? No, it's because he's not a very good basketball player.
He's the first NBA player to be featured on the cover of Sports Illustrated with a points-per-game average of 3.1.
He's just not very good.
He's a role player. He's a bit
exactly.
player.
But the problem is now he's made this part of the issue, too.
Mm-hmm. And the football player who's entering the draft, what is his name, Sam?
Sam.
May have the same problem.
Well, not only that, but he has now come out and said that he only wants to be judged by his playing on the football field.
So why bother telling us what
you said? That was my question. And why'd you open up your big mouth, you stupid idiot? I mean, nobody cares.
Yeah.
The people on the Missouri football team, they knew.
They knew.
They didn't give a damn because he's a good football player.
Right.
That's all they care about. We don't care what you got in your pants, or what you do with what you got in your pants.
What's the motto of Missouri? It's the show me state. He showed them. Let's move on. Let's just play the game now. Okay?
Maybe every now and then we don't need to see it. Mm. And in this case, we don't need to. Mm-hmm. It's like they want to be an exhibitionist on the one. They want to prance around and say, look at me, I'm gay. But then when things don't go their way, they don't want to be seen as being gay anymore. They want to be seen as something else. Well, make up your mind, all right? If you don't want to be seen, quote-unquote, as only being gay, then don't come, quote, out and make a big deal out of it.
Yep.
Just live your life. That's all you need to do. And all you folks need to do is keep listening to the American Adversaries, because we are live.
Adversaries, they may be some bad men, but they're great guys.
And so is Mark Merrow, great guy. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. We are the American Adversaries, and we've got the dock in sight. We're coming back with our three-hour tour, and we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios on AM 660, The Answer. And congratulations to Clint from Winter Springs and Steve from Kissimmee. Clint and Steve have won those two free bottles of Roxy Pacifics, and don't worry, folks, we'll be doing that again. But if you just can't wait and you want to get a bottle of your own, go to RoxyPacifics.net. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X.net. And, Oscar Dennis, you were just talking about something in regards to these gay players coming out and making a big deal out of being gay and then turning around not wanting it to be made a big deal of.
Right. When will we know we've made progress in the arena?
Yeah.
In baseball, the Cleveland Indians were at the forefront of bringing blacks into positions of power. Larry Doby was the first major leaguer in the American League to play baseball, mm-hmm. who was black. And Frank Robinson was the first black manager hired by the Cleveland Indians in 1975. 2 years later, he was the first black manager to be fired. And when he was hired, someone asked another major leaguer, a Hall of Famer, might have been Ernie Banks, might have been Willie Mays, whether they thought this was a big step, a big progressional step that that Major League Baseball had taken. And the player said, "This is great, but we'll know we've made strides when the first black manager gets fired, because that means he'll be hired and he'll be fired because of his own efforts."
And I believe that was Ernie Banks, if not mistaken. But that is a lesson that we need to apply now to politics, right? Because this president has been given a pass for a long time now, because let's face it, because he's the first black president, mm-hmm. and nobody wants to be the first one to fire the first mm-hmm. black president.
And that kid glove treatment in itself is racist.
It exactly yep. is. And we will only know that we have gone beyond that when we can fire a guy like Barack mm-hmm. Obama, not because he's white or black or anything else, but because he's just not a very good president, which he is not. And we deserve a whole lot better than him. I'm sorry. It does not matter his race or his gender. What matters is he is incompetent and a boob. So enough said of that. Speaking of stuff like that, let's go now to
what are you calling me?
Do you have a story about a boob in there?
No, but I need to find one.
Johnny Guns with WTF News. Johnny, take her away.
Good night.
I thought you'd appreciate
yeah.
that.
I appreciate them, but I don't know I really appreciate being called one.
No, I wasn't calling you a boob. Because some of your stories talk about
yeah,
things.
Not,
like
not tonight. We're not getting any tonight.
Yeah.
Boy,
right.
have I ever heard that more than often. I like that. Anyway, go ahead, Johnny.
101-year-old Florida man is running for the U.S. House of Representatives.
What?
Have you heard about that?
Say that again now.
A 101-year-old Florida man is running for the U.S. House of Representatives and says he wants to improve society and he doesn't care if people call him a fool. This is Joe Newman of Sarasota announced he will run for the 16th Congressional District and will draw on his life experiences to convince other officials to take steps to improve society. Newman says his goals include ensuring that the government can fund Social Security, expanding Medicare, eliminating poverty, and making sure all restaurants offer early bird specials.
Are you serious?
That, the last one might have been. I just threw that in there.
Okay.
He said he hopes his candidacy will inspire others to reject special interests and demand more from their government. He says, quote, "If people are saying, who is this fool at 101 and running? Call me a fool. I'm sorry, but I've got to get out there and..."
Johnny.
An hour later, he finishes, quote, "Get out and convince John and convince Jim. Hey, think. My goal is that we get a chance to speak out and make people reflect on what you want from your society."
Hey, Ms. Adams, yeah, hi. Have I got a guy for you? Yeah, I'll talk to you after the show.
Hey, yeah, he may be a congressman.
Is he
a representative?
A Republican or Democrat, do we know?
He is running against a Republican, so I'm
saying.
Maybe he's a Whig.
101.
Hey. Lincoln got him into politics.
Hey, you can't knock that experience, I guess, man.
No. South Florida charter school teacher was arrested on battery charges after she allegedly forced a 10-year-old boy to clean a dirty urinal she thought he had clogged using his bare hands. Third grade teacher is accused of battery on a child by exposing the child to wee-wee. The police report indicates that the teacher allegedly made the student unclog the urinal of wee-wee-soaked paper towels. The report reads, victim's hands were saturated in what smells like pee-pee from the urinal and the paper towel that was in the urinal. The boy was not given gloves, and there is no soap in the bathroom for him to wash with after he was through.
Ooh.
Yeah, when she was questioned, the teacher, get this, was unapologetic about her actions. The report says she thinks she only thinks what she did was wrong because she's in trouble for it. Otherwise, she does not see anything wrong with exposing a child to urine.
No, she wasn't doing anything wrong. She just got caught. So.
I don't think her story holds water.
Oh, what's the business about not having soap in the bathroom?
Have you been to many school bathrooms?
What's that been?
Usually.
Oh, well.
Let me just tell you, some of the schools I've been in, yeah, you may just need to bring your own soap, BYOS. All right. A team in Spain, if you thought this was gross and that last story was gross, oh, just wait.
Oh, boy.
A team in Spain is striving to create healthier sausages using probiotic bacteria found commonly in baby poop. Yeah, this is proving once and for all that sometimes, you know that secret ingredient?
There's gold in their diapers.
Sometimes that secret ingredient better left secret. Live Science reports, quote, bacteria from baby poop can help make delicious sausages, which could transform savory meats into health foods, much like probiotic yogurts, according to new research.
Now you guys know why I'm a vegetarian.
Because I don't think I can get past the words baby poop and delicious in the same sentence.
And sausage.
Oh, wait. There's more. In order to test the theory, a team of scientists tested bacteria from 43 infant samples. Yeah.
That must be Sarah there.
Of the six strains of bacteria tested, one fully took over the sausage, which means that such a sausage may have probiotic health effects after all. The probiotic sausage may be a good alternative for people who do not enjoy eating dairy products like probiotic yogurt. You know, they have numerous health benefits like burning belly fat, easing depression, all those sort of things. The bacteria was used to make a Spanish sausage called a fuet, which some taste testers said tasted just like regular sausage.
Ooh. Hi, Pasquale. Yeah, I just want to make sure you're not listening to the show right now. Please don't be listening.
Regular sausage.
Yeah. Some said it tasted like regular sausage. The others said it tasted like crap.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's Johnny Guns with WTF News. All right, I got a little one, too. I don't think it'll match that, but we'll give it a try. You guys remember the group ABBA?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The second biggest industry in Sweden.
That's right.
Right behind Volvo.
Dancing Queen.
That's right. Do you remember some of the clothes that they wear? And the outrageous clothes and the hot pants?
Like Sergeant Pepper looking kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Did you know that there was a reason for that beyond the entertainment value of it?
No. I did not.
Did you know that it had to do with taxes, of all things?
Oh, no.
Although I do know they were taxed incredibly heavily by their home nation.
And that's why they would go to the links like this to write things off. This is from The Guardian. Evidently, this came out on the 16th. I found it on the 17th. Let me just read now from the London Guardian, two or three small paragraphs. The glittering hot pants, sequined jumpsuits, and platform heels that ABBA wore at the peak of their fame were designed not just for the four band members to stand out, but also for tax efficiency, according to claims over the weekend. Reflecting on the group's sartorial record in a new book, Bjorn Ulvaeus said, "In my honest opinion, we looked like nuts in those years. Nobody can have been as badly dressed on stage as we were. And the reasons for their bold fashion choices lay not just in the pop glamour of the late 70s and early 80s, but also in the Swedish tax code. According to ABBA, the official photo book, published to mark 40 years since they won Eurovision with Waterloo, the band's style was influenced in part by laws that allowed the cost of outfits to be deducted against tax so long as the costumes were so outrageous they could not be possibly worn on the street." Nostradamus, some of them things you wear could be written off. Lair, too.
Just think, that was back in 1973.
Yeah.
Today, anything goes on the street. You've seen some of those parades,
yeah,
the ones Mayor de Blasio will go to.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyone will wear anything in some of those, or nothing at all.
All right. Speaking of dapper people, we'll come back with Lair with his closing comments.
Dressing room to re-stretch their tights. Here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversary on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
Welcome back to the American Adversaries. I guess you could say this is our white flag segment, heading towards the checkered flag for all you Daytona 500 race fans out there.
I can see Marianne and Ginger. They're at the shore. They're waving to us. Hi, girls.
I got to admit, this show has been a treat. We've had brownies from Mary Lee, which is fantastic. Mm, we heard from our absolute favorite 96-year-old listener. Love you, Miss Adams. The only way this show could get any better is with Lair's closing comments. Lair, my friend, how you doing tonight?
Doing great, buddy. Thank you for that. You guys are getting too wild in that studio, and it has to be the brownies.
It is. They're special.
What ingredients are in those brownies?
I don't know, but boy, are they good, dude.
Not the same in sausage.
All right. All right, thanks. Thanks, guys. Listen, folks, tomorrow we'll celebrate nearly a century, 96 years, in fact, since the birth of my mother, Norma. I've talked about her often and written a birthday tribute to her for the last 3 years. She was born at a time that is so alien to the children of today. Automobiles share the road with horses and mules, and eating out meant nothing more than a picnic. The, quote, poverty level we have today would have been considered highfalutin back then. Nowadays, kids hear soup line and think of the one at the dinner buffet. Not people waiting in line for hours for flavored water and a piece of bread. For most of Norma's family's life, it was a desperate struggle for food and lodging. Today, it's panic if the internet or cable goes down. My mother has many what we would call horror stories about the Depression and has bragged many times that she has had the greatest life anyone could have. Much of that thanks to 6 decades with her lover, my dad. Norma was born during an interesting year, 1918, in which several other noteworthy events occurred. Moscow became the capital of Russia. Obviously, the Ruskies waited till confirmation of my mother's birth to do this. That same year, the Spanish flu kills nearly 40 million people worldwide. It was not my mother's fault, apparently. It was some Spaniard, I would think. The birth of Norma saw the end of World War I. Give her some credit for that. I'm not sure why, but go ahead. In 1918, the famous and cursed Red Baron lost his last dogfight. Now, if there is any truth to reincarnation, I can see many similarities. Daylight savings time and time zones are enacted. General Motors buys Chevrolet, and for the first time, gas is taxed. And in the middle of all this, Norma makes her appearance in a rundown farmhouse. She's in good company. Others were born that same year, and they were Oral Roberts, John Forsythe, Joey Bishop, Howard Cosell, Pearl Bailey, Sam Walton, the guy that started Walmart, Betty Ford, William Holden, born the same year, Jack Parr, Mike Wallace, director Ingmar Bergman, baseballer Ted Williams, Paul Harvey, good day, Rita Hayworth, Billy Graham, Spiro Agnew, Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., actor Jeff Chandler, dancer Jose Greco, and Anwar Sadat. Many of these famous people were born in just as humble beginnings as Norma. They had lives in the spotlight, but that wasn't good enough for her. No, sir. The closeness of family, unfettered with fame, was what became the key to her happiness, and she will carry it with her always. At 96, she has no regrets, but looks forward to being with my father again. She doesn't quite understand the purpose for her living so long, but the rest of us do. Quite selfishly, it is for us, the time we enjoy with her and the dread of missing her. Happy birthday, Norma, and thank you. Have a great week, folks.
Okay, that was Lair Adams. Great job, Lair, as always. And his mom really is a dear soul, and she has got a great sense of humor and very talented woman. And raised four boys. Four boys.
And did you read this? Did you hear who passed? Maria Von Trapp, the last surviving member of the Von Trapp family from Sound of Music fame. Huh. Died at the age of 99 over the weekend. Mm. She was the second oldest sister in the family. She had a weak heart. She was, you know, if you had put your odds on which one would go first, it might have been her. But she lasted to the ripe old age of 99 years old.
99. Yeah. And Miss Adams celebrating 96. Go, go, go.
Yeah. God bless them both.
God bless them both. Okay, we're running short on time. Before we do, I just want to remind you folks, 2 weeks from yesterday, March 8th, is going to be the Walk for Life to benefit True Life Choice. This is the organization in town here that provides women with an alternative to abortion and provides them with help, free medical advice and sonograms and that sort of thing. If you would like to come out and join us, there are going to be three locations. I'll be at the one downtown at Lake Eola. The registration is at 8:30. The walk begins at 9. The other two locations are the First Baptist Church of Central Florida on Good Homes Road, out there on the west side of town, on the east side of town, at the University Carillon on Campus View Court in Oviedo. That'll be 2 weeks from yesterday, Saturday, March the 8th. Come on out and join us for the walk for life. We'd certainly like to see you come out and join us for that. Don't forget, when we hand off the ball here in just a few minutes, Mark Walters is going to take it, and he'll take you live with Armed American Radio right up until 11 o'clock tonight. Don't forget Carl Jackson's show. He's doing a wonderful job. He and Mickey Alvarez every Saturday morning live at 8 o'clock. They replay the show at 6 o'clock, but that's live every Saturday at 8 o'clock. And don't forget that pistol. Well, Marshall Polston, a 17-year-old kid who gets to go everywhere and do everything, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And he gets to rub elbows with the likes of Ted Cruz and even Don Trump. But he does a great job as well every Saturday afternoon. Evidently, he's got some expansion plans, so you'll be wanting listen to his show. Ooh. That's every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Before we get out of here tonight, I just want to talk about a man. I went to his memorial service today. His name's Tom Meyer. And I can't say that Tom was a friend of mine, but I did have occasion to see him on a fairly regular basis, and he always showed me a smile and a kind word. So I took the opportunity to spend a little time today with his family in his memorial service, and learned a lot about the man that I didn't know. I knew that he had gotten laid off last year. I knew that it was devastating to him. He was very depressed about it. Unfortunately, he died suddenly and unexpectedly. But what I didn't know is that he worked many years as a delivery man. He would get up early in the morning, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and go out and make his rounds. And he was the kind of delivery guy that people liked it when he showed up. Not just because he had what he needed, what they needed that he was delivering, but because he was always so helpful and always so cheerful and always had a smile. He was a big man, but he didn't seem imposing or threatening in any fashion. Since he had been laid off, he was living with his mother in the same neighborhood as his brother and sister-in-law and two beautiful little nephews, Tommy and Jonathan. And I would see him on many occasions go to the school bus stop and walk back with Johnny and Tommy. And folks, he was a great, decent man. But he did not live a highfalutin or complicated life. He lived a simple life, if you will. He was, if you will, he lived the life of a simple man. And oftentimes, that's the best life to live. And I tell you what, there are a lot of people there today who are very sad that he is gone. And I'm going to miss his smile and his kind words because they are so too far in between these days when we get those sort of things. So please, if you would, remember in your prayers tonight, Tom Meyer and his family and friends who will miss him very, very dearly. And please join us tomorrow night for the American Adversaries Drive Time at 5 o'clock. With that, night, everybody.
Service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative, AM 660.